This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Betty, we saw a second global dairy trade average rise last week, up 2.5%, and we saw a 42-cent increase in the April Class 3 milk price. Is this a light at the end of the tunnel, or is it a train?
I'm not sure it's either of those. Certainly two positive GDT events catches a person's attention. Whole milk powder was up 5% at the auction this past week. At the same time, demand is weak right now globally, and until some of these macroeconomic issues abate, it's going to really be difficult to see things starting to rally. I don't want to be dismissive of that second GDT auction being positive, and perhaps people are beginning to buy and the markets are going to rally, but I'm just not totally convinced of it quite yet.
Betty Berning, contributing dairy economist with High Ground Dairy in Chicago.
Tuesday,
opening up your farm to the outside world and what you should know about liability. Attorney Troy Schneider.
Most people don't understand necessarily the law behind these liability risks when hosting farm tours. I thought a good place to start is what's called Wisconsin's recreational use statute. They specifically added agricultural tourism activity that's governed by the recreational use immunity statute. In layman's terms, what that statute does is if this person is on your property doing this specific activity, you're immune from liability.
He says who you invite on the farm is also important.
You have to be prepared, I think, that people don't think like farmers. We all think that we're good people. Well, there's actually not so good people out in the world sometimes that are actually looking to sue people. You have to change your mindset. I think you have to set yourself up to be vulnerable rather than invincible. It just is a different sort of mindset.
Wednesday.
We're here at the Alliance's 2023 Stakeholder Summit. And if you're not familiar with the Alliance, we are a nonprofit with a mission to safeguard the future of animal agriculture and its value to society by bridging the communication gap between the farm and food communities. So our annual summit is our way of bringing together the entire animal agriculture and food community to talk about our future, make sure we have a bright future and a place on the consumer's plates, and what we can all do to take steps toward that. This year, our theme is Partners in Progress, Building a Sustainable Future for Animal Agriculture. So we are talking all about partnerships, both within the animal agriculture community and all the way down to the consumer across the food chain, so that we can work together to have a sustainable future.
Hannah, one of the things I've always marveled at is you have a great eclectic mix of people here.
It is everybody from beef, pork, dairy, chicken, turkey, eggs, aquaculture. We have fur, we have research, we have dog breeders, the companion animal space. Everyone who involves animal agriculture or animals in general in their livelihood, we want to have here at this conference.
Thursday.
A lot of work has gone into improving the federal milk market order system, and now we wait on the federal government after requests were made by the National Milk Producers Federation, who would like USDA to have a hearing to look at some of these issues. We're joined by National Milk's Chris Galen with the latest. Chris?
Yes, this is a very necessary proposal that National Milk has submitted to USDA because the basics of the federal order pricing system really have not been revamped in a generation. And anything that is as important as it is to so many dairy farmers needs to be updated more frequently than that. But here's where we are, which is that National Milk submitted a comprehensive proposal last week to USDA, and it's basically a petition to consider a series of requests from our membership during a national hearing later in the year. There's five key components to this proposal. Bill, I'm not going to get into the details right now, but we've got a handful of things that will change the pricing system.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to be, does dairy cows have a choline requirement for lactating dairy cows? This discussion was led by Dr. Jose Santos from the University of Florida. 90% of the choline found in feed is degraded in the rumen. So if we're going to deliver choline to cows to have biological effects, it's going to be rumen protected. Choline is important for cell wall membrane and nerve transmission and also healthy livers in cows. It's involved in what we call the one carbon metabolism, and that's methanol. And that is important because choline has three labile or available methyl groups, where methionine only has one. So our take-home message, our choline should be required as a required nutrient, even though the NRC does not do that in nascents. And it looks like the level should be around 25 to 26 grams per day.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.